I want to ask you a couple of questions before I share a scripture with you this morning. If that was your picture, would your family know that you were in heaven? If that was your picture. If that was your picture, would they know that you were faithful till the end? That you didn't give up, you didn't get mad about nothing, you didn't puff up, stay at the house, you didn't give out, you kept on going, you were faithful to the end. Would they say that? If that was your picture, would they say, I want to be the Christian they were? If that was your picture, would they say they influenced me for Christ? Is there anybody that you've influenced for Christ or led to the Lord? I want to share with you just real briefly. I've got a few things I want to say. And we're going to go back and have lunch today. Thank you for all of those on the internet who are with us today and some in the building who have already sent birthday greetings. I have not had time to look at all of them and on the line, but I will. And so I thank you for that. We're going to have a good time, good meal. Turn in your Bibles, please, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter number 31. Genesis 31. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures and make a couple of comments, and we'll go back. We're preaching all this year on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've learned some things about God this year. I hope you have. But I've learned some things about people and my heroes in the Bible that I hadn't thought about. Every one of them were sinners, just like us. Every one of them messed up from time to time, just like us. But their God was able to use them for His glory, and their names are written in the Bible. And we are admonished to do that. I was thinking when Mason and Miss Trudy were helping us get together the names of all these that are there and many more that could have been. These were people who loved this church, and they prayed and they gave and they sacrificed in the very beginning. The older building you saw was the first building, and then the second, and then the older building over there, and now what God has given us here. But none of this would be here. We wouldn't even be here if they hadn't stayed faithful to God and prayed and walked with God, sacrificed. And now it's our turn to keep on keeping on for Jesus. We've been so blessed, and God's done so many things for us. We've looked at the God of Adam. He's the God of creation. He's the God from whom you cannot hide your sin. We looked at the God of Enoch. Enoch walked with God. And this world, as wicked as it is, cannot keep you from staying close to Jesus. Enoch walked in a time that was just not very long before the flood, and the Bible said he walked with God. My dear friend, you can be faithful to God in any situation. And then we looked at the God of Noah, God that brought judgment. He is a God of judgment, but he is also a God that provides salvation in the ark in that occasion, but he provides us salvation. Can I say to you, it's a matter of whatever you do in this life that you need to be faithful to Jesus. You need to know Him first of all as your Savior and Lord. When it comes down to dying, you're going to leave everything behind, everything. You won't take anything with you. The only thing you'll have in heaven will be yourself and anybody else you influence for Christ. That's what really is going to count. And so I hope that you'll look to the Word of God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I have already started on the God of Jacob. And I want to just say this to you. The God of Jacob is the God of homecoming. He's the God of homecoming. There are several homecomings in the Bible. I'm not going to, but God orchestrated every one of them. And one of these days, we're all going home. That's what they sang about. We're going to see Him. I was listening this week. How many of you know Mark Lowry? You know who he is? You've heard his name. You've heard his song. Mary, did you know he wrote that song? But he's a nut. He loves the Lord, but he's a nut. And I heard him on the radio the other day. He said, Jesus is coming again, and Bill, meaning Bill Gaither, is going to get it on video. That'll be the last homecoming video he ever does. And I thought that was so funny. But my dear friend, Jesus is coming again. He is coming again, but he's the God of homecoming. Look, let me show you what I'm talking about in regard to Jacob. He's the God of homecoming. Look in chapter number 31 and at verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will bless thee. He wants him to go back home. He's telling him to go back home. Look over to verse number 13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise and get thee from this land and return to the land of thy kindred. He's telling Jacob, go home. He's the God of homecoming. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonderful singing. Thank you for anointing the men as they sang, the choir and the special music this morning. God, help us now in these few moments to speak, Lord, you speak to my heart and the heart of our friends. Lord, I'm blessed today to be able to bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me, but the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is my God. You've saved me. You've given me everlasting life. You called me. You put me in the ministry. You've blessed me and Regina all these years. God, you've given us wonderful family and a tremendous, wonderful church family. Lord, I'm so blessed today. And God, I thank you that you are the God of homecomings. And God, I pray that you bless here today in Jesus' name. Jacob, as you know, I've shared with you, he was a schemer. He had cooked some porridge, some soup, some stew or something. And his brother Esau had been out hunting, came back, didn't have anything. He was hungry. And his brother wanted some of his porridge, some of his soup. And he said, I'll give you some of that if you'll sell me your birthright. Now, Esau was the firstborn, but it was prophesied already to his to their mama that Jacob was going to be the chosen of God and he would rule over his brethren. It was all in God's divine plan. But when the babies were born, they were twins. Esau was being born, coming out, and Jacob grabbed hold of his heel, and he came out holding on to his heel, to his brother's heel. And here he takes the birthright, which means that the oldest child has right to be the leader of the family, to be the priest of the family, and all the inheritance basically would go to him, and then he would distribute to his brethren. And then a little bit later on, the Bible says that Jacob, that Esau thinks he's dying and he wants to bless Esau still in spite of what God has already said. And so Jacob comes in, his mama tells him, go get some wool, some sheepskin, and she put it on him because Esau was a hairy man. And she cooked up some stew just like he liked. And Jacob goes in and Esau, his eyes are dim. The Bible said he couldn't see real well. And he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Esau. He lied. Jacob was a liar. He wasn't Esau, he was Jacob. And he said, come near. And he felt of his hand. He said, you have the hair, but your voice kind of sounds like Jacob. But anyhow, he gave him that. And then God blessed it. Esau blessed his son, or Isaac blessed his son. And he gave him all, in other words, what he had promised him by the birthright now becomes his in reality. He becomes the head of the family. He becomes the heir. He's in charge of everything from here on out. He says, you'll rule over your brethren and all those things. And Esau comes in and he realizes what had happened. He's heartbroken. And he says this, he said, I'm going to kill my brother. I'll wait till daddy dies, but I'm going to kill him. And then the mother of Jacob calls him in and said, your brother will surely try to kill you if your daddy dies. She said, I want you to go down to my kinfolk, go down to Laban, my kinfolks, and work with him. Stay down there until he cools off and then you can come back. Well, it's well over 25 years before he comes back. Mama's died. But he's been down there. And Jacob goes down to work. He saw a beautiful girl. And he wanted to marry her, and her name was Rachel. And anyhow, he told Laban, her daddy said, I'll work for you 7 years. And so he worked 7 years, and it came time for the wedding. And you know what? Old Laban, he slipped in Leah on him, slipped in. She wasn't the most pretty of the sisters. And anyhow, he got the wrong lady, got the wrong wife. And then he realized, of course, what had happened. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll work another 7 years for you for the one I really want. So he worked 7 years, total of 14 years and then some. And he stayed in that land. And he's been there. God's blessed him. And I can't give him all the story, but here I won't get to the homecoming. But he's been gone all these years, and God's blessed him with family and children now and all kind of property. And God says, it's time for you to go home. You got to go back home. And what I was thinking about, how was it he came back? Well, he came back and he stopped along the way. And that's where he has this wrestling match with God. And after the wrestling match, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And the Bible says that he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And from that day forward, he limped. And he changed his name right then from Jacob, which means supplanter or conniver or schemer. And he changed it to Israel. And he'll have 12 sons, and they will be the 12 tribes of Israel. But he met God. He wrestled with God, and God won. He's on his way home now, and he's still afraid of his brother. He knows he's vowed to kill him. He don't know what to expect. And so he sends some of his servants with some gifts, some animals, and three different groups he sends ahead of him. They arrive and they say, your servant, Jacob, is coming. He's coming home. And so when they get there, there's a wonderful arrival over in chapter number 32. Let me read what it says, just a verse in chapter 32 and verse number 10. Here is the words of Jacob. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over Jordan, and now I become two bands. He said, Lord, I left, and I had nothing but a stick in my hand. But now I'm coming back, and I've got all of this great host of people coming back with me. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me. And so he's making his way back to his brother. And when it comes to chapter 33, he comes in close proximity to Esau, and he sees Esau, and Esau sees him. And notice what happens when you read this story. Is Esau going to kill him? Is Esau going to be mad? What's going to happen? He's prayed for God to bless. And it says this in verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. I say these few things to you about coming home, because in that I saw a parallel of you coming home to Jesus. I remember when God called me to preach, I surrendered to the ministry, and I had preached some already, but I knew God was calling me to full-time Christian ministry. And so about for that year, I kind of preached around a little bit. And then in August of 1968, I was ordained to the gospel ministry, and I became assistant pastor of my home church, Calvary Baptist Church. So in August, 57 years of ministry since I'd been ordained, and a year previous to that. But I remember that night, I had wrestled with it where God was calling me to preach or not. And I was in the choir. It was a night I was actually singing in the choir. And I don't know why, but for some reason we were experiencing revival in our church there where Earl Schott was pastor. I mean, just real move of God. I was in the choir. And that night, God had already spoke to my heart. I'd already talked to him, but I didn't know for sure that God was calling me. But they sang an old song, says, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. That's part of the chorus. And I came. I came out of there. I came down and surrendered to the ministry. And God blessed us and blessed that night. But it was such a blessing. But I felt like that I had come closer to the Lord that night. And just like when I got saved, I surrendered my life to him. And I was like Jacob. Jacob was a conniver. He was a schemer. He was a liar and everything else. He had cheated his brother out of his birthright and out of his blessing. And yet he comes back home. And I got to looking at that. How is it that you come home? Suppose you're away from the Savior. He loved you before the foundation of the world and died for you that you might have everlasting life. And you've not come back to Him. You've not come home. And how is it you ought to come home? I give you these few things just real quickly, seven of them actually, and I'm not going to preach them. I'm going to mention them. Number one, He came home humbly. The Bible says God touched His thigh, and for the rest of His life, He had a limp. God humbled Him. And when you come to the place where you lay down all of your pride and you're willing to bow before God and say that I'm a sinner, you come humbly before the Lord. You're not worthy, as He said, of all of His mercies, but you're not of His grace, but you come humbly to the Lord. He came with a little bit of apprehension. And you know what? I tell people when I'm talking to them about the Lord or when I'm preaching, right now, you have a desire to step out and trust God, but there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of apprehension. But that's all part of the old nature you've got. It's part of Satan fighting you, trying to keep you from trusting Christ. And you just don't know what to do. There's an element of fear, of doubt. You don't know what to do. And so He came like that. And so there's nothing wrong with coming like that. You're part of God's plan, and it's part of God's plan to humble you and for you to come to Him humbly. But you still have a little bit of apprehension. You're still not, you realize what a sinner you've been. What will He do? Just like Esau, what will Esau do? Because I'm such a sinner. But I'm going to encourage you to believe on Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. For all of your sins have been paid for in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He came remorsefully. He had sorrow for what He'd done in the past. And when you come to Christ, I believe the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart, and there'll be a sorrow in your heart. But He came not only with sorrow, but He came with repentance. He's turning from his sin and turning to the Savior. He's willing to acknowledge he's a sinner. He's willing to acknowledge he's done wrong. But that won't save you. Sorrow for your sin will not save you. You've got to do something further, like He did. He came home. But notice, He came home thankfully. He said, I'm not worthy of all that You've blessed me with. You come to Him thanking Him, that He's blessed you in the past, even when you didn't deserve it, but He's blessed you. Thanking Him for Jesus who loved you and died for you before you was ever born. You come to Him with a grateful heart and a thankful heart. You come to Him prayerfully. Jacob had wrestled with God in prayer. He prayed and asked God to help him with delivering from fear of his brother and working his brother's heart. He came prayerfully. How is it that you come to the Lord? People say, well, I came to the Lord. What does it mean? The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how do you come to Him? You call on Him. Whosoever, He said, he that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. You come in faith. You come in prayer. That's how you come to Him, by asking Him to come in your heart and save you. But oh, the last thing of His homecoming, He was received graciously and joyfully. This is an amazing picture to me. Here's a brother who he stole his birthright and stole his blessing and then left. But when he comes back, he receives him joyfully and thankfully. And thank God, listen, I've done this over and over again when I've asked God to forgive me for something, but especially when you trust Him as Savior. When you come to Him, He doesn't throw up all your past. He doesn't hold it against you. When you come by faith and trust Him as Savior, He receives you joyfully. He receives you, my dear friend, and He'll bless you. He'll embrace you, much like Esau embraced his brother Jacob. Come to Jesus. That's the kind of homecoming I love. When you come home and you're received joyfully, and thank God for that. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I want to say to you, there's nobody in all the whole world, nor in heaven, that wants you saved more than Jesus. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loves you still. And nobody loves you more than Jesus. And nobody wants you to be saved more than Jesus. The devil will tell you that you've been too wicked. You've been too sinful. He's not going to receive you. But I promise you, every person who's ever come remorseful of their sin, repenting of their sin, praying and asking Him to save them, they have every one been received joyfully. Oh, He'll embrace you. He'll put the kiss of pardon on you. He'll give you everlasting life. And some of you in this building this morning or in the internet have been away from the Lord spiritually. Not that you were lost, not that you were separated from His presence, but you're not loving Him and serving Him. You're like the prodigal son, been in the far country, but you need to come home. What did the father do when he came home? He fell on his neck and kissed him. He is the God of homecoming. And everybody that comes home gets embraced and kissed by the Father. My dear friend, I'd encourage you, if you're a Christian, rededicate your life to Him today on homecoming. If you're not, I encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. This morning, let's stand together for prayer. I want to pray. And I'm thinking everything's going to be ready in the back. And we may go ahead and ask the blessing here and go back to the back. And I'm not in a hurry anything, but I do know that sometimes they wait till I get back there, and I don't want you to have to wait. So when we dismiss out of here, I'll try to get back to the back as quick as I can and greet you in the back. But more than anything right now, I'd love to know that you were saved. If you're saved this morning in this building, and you say, Brother Billy, there was a day that I came home to Jesus. I trusted Him as my Savior. And you're right. He received me joyfully. He embraced me and put the kiss of pardon on me. I'm glad I came home to Jesus. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to Him? And be honest with you, I'm not looking. I just want you to worship Him and praise Him. Thank you so much. You could put your hands down. How many of you here this morning said, Brother Billy, I am a Christian, but I've not been where I ought to be. Not having a good relationship with the spiritual family, not having much fellowship with the Father. I want to come home. I want you to pray this morning that I'd get on fire for Jesus again, get involved in the church again, and be faithful to God. I want to come home as the prodigal. I know He loves me. He died for me. He's been my Savior. He's never failed me, but I failed Him. But this morning, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Would you raise your hand again? I'm not even going to look. That's between you and God. Bless your heart. Thank you. One other question real quick. You say, Brother Billy, if I was to die right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But preacher, I want you to pray that I would be saved before it's too late. I won't come to you. I'll be glad to talk to you, but I won't come to you and embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. Just want to pray. I'm looking to my right. If you're here today, you say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I want you to pray for me. Anybody in the two sections to my right, if you slick your hand right up, right back down, right up and right back down this morning, thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody over that side? How about here on my left, on this left-hand side? Thank you so much. Anybody else? I want to know. I want to know. I'm so thankful for you raising your hand this morning. I've been right where you are. There's a little bit of apprehension. There's a little bit of fear. Is it real? Will He accept me? What will people think? And I'm going to just tell you right now, He loves you. and he wants to save you. I don't believe you'd even have a desire in your heart to be saved if he hadn't already begun a work in you. And while I'm praying, I'd encourage you right where you are. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. Why don't you call on him? Why don't you ask him to come in your heart and save you right now? Receive him. Heavenly Father, I pray for our friends, first of all, who said they were saved and love you. Thank you, God, for this wonderful church family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who indicated they were Christians, but they weren't as close as they ought to be. God, please draw them up close to you. I pray they'd receive the prodigal's welcome and restoration. Fill them with afresh with the Holy Ghost of God and joy and peace. And then, Lord, for our friends who raised their hand and said they don't know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. God, I pray you'd give them courage to step out and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. No better day in all the world to receive Christ than today on homecoming. Help them to step out in Jesus' name.